جزء 2. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, compassionate to all, merciful to each. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our second episode in this podcast series titled Journeying Our Eyes Through the Quran, Exploring 30 Juz in 30 Days in this Blessed Month of Ramadan. My name is Fatima Meghji and today inshallah we will continue our journey through the pages of the Quran as we take a brief look into the second juz of the Quran. Yesterday, we began with a short reflection on one of the most beautiful chapters of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. Today, we will explore a few different verses from Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter of the cow, which is also the longest surah of the Quran and spans an impressive 286 verses across three different juz of the Quran. The surah takes its name from the story of the cow, which was mentioned in the first juz from verses 68 to 73. This chapter is Medinan, which means that it was revealed in the period in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and the Muslimun were living in the city of Medina as their home base after they had migrated from the city of Mecca. Many of you will know this already, but when a chapter is Medinan, that means that it primarily explores themes of Islamic laws, practices, hypocrisy, and other themes that were relevant to the Muslims in Medina. On the other hand, Meccan surahs, which were revealed before the Hijrah, primarily focus on topics of aqidah, belief, theology, etc. As the Muslim community grew stronger in their beliefs in Mecca, various laws and practices were gradually introduced as Islam evolved into the comprehensive ethical system that we see today. Surah Al-Baqarah, which is Medinan, contains many of these ethical injunctions and elaborations of Islamic law, or what we know as the Sharia. In today's podcast episode, we will focus on a short part of Surah Al-Baqarah in which some of these laws are mentioned and how they are discussed. Contrary to common belief, the laws of Islam do not make a grand appearance in the Quran, and of its 6,348 verses, roughly only 500 or so verses speak of Islamic rulings. As Juz opens, it begins with the story of the changing of the Qibla, in which Muslims were directed to change their direction of prayer in Medina while they were in the middle of prayer, and it was a test to see who would follow the Prophet in his actions after the verse was revealed to him. It was a test to see if they would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet of Allah, even though, of course, the direction in which we pray is symbolic. The Muslims were originally praying towards Bayt al-Muqaddas in Palestine, and traditions narrate that there were some Jews in Medina who would taunt them for not having their own direction in prayer, and instead using one that was special to them, the Jews of Medina. After some time, God ordered the Muslimin to turn instead to the Kaaba, and this was revealed to Rasulullah while he was in prayer. And the test was to see who would follow Rasulullah in his actions. But this change in direction wasn't one that was easily understood or accepted by all immediately. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not occupy a physical location that we are praying towards, the test was to see the submission of the Muslimin to the rule and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in changing the Qibla of the Muslimin. This story and struggle opens and sets the scene for a huge chunk of the juz in which the laws of Islam are explored roughly from verse 158 to 239 of Surah Al-Baqarah, and it includes discussions on the practices of Hajj, punishments for murder, qisas, how to leave a will or wasiya, jihad, and more. One of the discussions of these laws is particularly relevant to us and is included in the following verses from Surah Al-Baqarah, from verse 185 to 187.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون.
The month of Ramadan is one in which the Quran was sent down as a guidance to mankind, with manifest proofs of guidance and the criterion. So let those of you who witness it, fast in it, and as for someone who is sick or on a journey, let them fast a similar number of other days. Allah desires ease for you, and He does not desire hardship for you, and so that you may complete the number and magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding you, and that you may give thanks. When my servants ask you about me, tell them that I am indeed near. I answer the supplicant's call when he calls me, so let them respond to me, let them have faith in me, so that they may fare rightly. Thus does Allah clarify His signs for mankind, so that they may be God-wary. These verses from Surah Al-Baqarah discuss the fast of the month of Ramadan and some of the rules associated with it. While fasting makes an appearance in several instances in the Quran, these verses contain the only instance in which the month of Ramadan is mentioned by name. As we have now entered this blessed month, it is worth reflecting on the philosophy of why this month is as special as it is. As the verse mentions, it is the month in which the Quran was revealed. It is also the month in which we are mandated by Islamic law to fast. And for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, the past few years have been difficult as we have fasted long hours. As we go through the caffeine withdrawals and the initial hangriness that comes with this first week of the blessed month, we thought it was only appropriate for us to recall the beautiful words of our Lord that He often mentions in the Quran when discussing laws that are difficult for us to navigate. After giving the exemptions of fasting to those who travel and to those who are sick, He says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ God wants and wills ease for us. He does not want hardship for us. He continues to say that He ordains these laws in the month of Ramadan and the fast in particular for a few reasons, including that we do the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. that we recognize and glorify God's greatness, and that we do takbir over what we have been guided to, so that we may give thanks. Previously in the verse, it says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ so that we may be God-wary, so that we may have taqwa. What this means is that God has ordained the fast so that we may attain taqwa. But how is this so? Taqwa at its root, waqaya, means to protect something against everything which may damage it, and taqwa means to put the soul under protection against whatever threatens it. As such, fasting leads us to protecting our souls against what threatens it, like our material desires and the pursuit of them. When fasting, we essentially put God's pleasure over our own, and this God-centeredness is the true spirit of the fast. The point here is that these injunctions, like fasting, are mentioned along with their ethical beauties and implications. Even in this set of verses, in the middle of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a form of dua, the very beautiful verse where He says that when my servants ask you about me, tell them that I am near, inni qareeb. And this is revealed amidst the verses that speak about our responsibilities and fasting. This is an interesting point to pay attention to, both with regards to this verse and the other legislative injunctions throughout the juz. And it's important to pay attention to the beautiful technique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala employs in the Quran. Legislation and Islamic laws are always mentioned in tandem with ethical injunctions, and the impact that following these laws has on our spiritual purification and proximity to God. One of our habits is to unfortunately compartmentalize the teachings of religion. Sometimes we learn ahkam, and other times we discuss spirituality. Sometimes we discuss akhlaq, sometimes we discuss manners with other individuals, and sometimes we discuss issues of money or education or science. But we often compartmentalize these things separated from one another. This habit of compartmentalizing different parts of our religion is contrary to the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us. When He reminds us of our legislated duties and ahkam, He also takes the time to remind us that this is good for our souls, that this is a part of our spirituality. In the middle of these verses, He mentions things like du'a. He lets us know that He's forgiving and kind, that He understands our struggles, that He wants ease for us. And He reminds us of our purpose in life, that all of these rules are there for a higher purpose, to help us turn towards Him, to remember Him, and to achieve the ultimate purpose of our existence in this lower world. As you read Juz 2 today, try to pay particular attention to these points and the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents divine legislation to us. We pray that we are able to carry through His commands and to have the tawfiq to fast and worship Him in this blessed month in which the beautiful guidance of this blessed book was revealed, and we pray that we answer His call and that we have the opportunity to call on Him during this beautiful month. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.